call that a news update? This is a news update. It's Neighbourhood Watch.
Hey, Rachel. How you going?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. It's a pretty exciting news day. We have a lot of Chelsea Manning news ourselves, as I've heard you have in Australia.
Yes, she's sort of trying to get into the country to speak in Sydney, and the government at the moment is seriously considering banning her from the country on character grounds.
Wow, what are the character grounds exactly that they're saying?
It's very interesting because that the character grounds reason for banning someone from the country in Australia is not very often used. The only, the types of people that are normally kept out of the country are people like Holocaust denier David Irving and a couple of famous domestic violence perpetrators in Floyd Mayweather and Chris Brown. But with Chelsea Manning, it seems to be sort of along the lines of not being able to trust her, and because she's done, I guess, illegal activity. But really, we've seen Milo Yiannopoulos and Lauren Southern, a lot of sort of hard right commentators come into the country and say things like spread lies about our Aboriginal people and be very critical of Australian society. But when it comes to Chelsea Manning, who would be a little bit more critical of the actual government rather than the people of Australia, suddenly they're very happy to shut it down.
That's quite strange. How much do you think that plays into, how much of that do you think is playing into the whole Australian and American political relationship?
Yeah, it's been said a little bit that it is potentially something that they're doing to appease Trump. And, I mean, we'll get to the composition of our government at the moment soon, but we have just had a bit of a push towards the conservative side of things. So it's not overly surprising that they might be doing something that they think might make Trump happy. But also, if you look at some of the decisions that the Australian government has been making recently when it comes to the coverage of things people have been very critical about, such as our treatment of refugees on our offshore detention, and the laws that they've put in place that are kind of clamping down on protests, it's not surprising that they would be a little bit hesitant to allow one of the big advocates for real open freedom of speech to come into Australia and talk about freedom of speech the way it should be, about making sure that governments are held accountable rather than just saying offensive things without consequence.
Yeah, of course. And that's totally in comparison to what happened with Lauren Southern.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm. So just going to jump into the exciting thing for you guys. So last week we were talking about how you guys were up in the air in terms of your leadership. You now have a prime minister. Yay.
Yes, we have a nice new prime minister, the seventh one in about 11 years. Yeah. So I guess probably about 3 hours after our conversation last week, the Liberal Party, the party in power, went in to have a vote on their leadership, and it was a 3-horse race. The public's favourite, Julie Bishop, was knocked out in the first round because there was concern that she would not be able to beat the hard Conservative option in Peter Dutton in the final vote. And so we've ended up with who was considered to be the moderate choice, and our new Prime Minister is Scott Morrison, who was formerly the Treasurer. Now, they're saying he's kind of been touted as the moderate choice, but really that's just because Peter Dutton was a very hard right option. Scott Morrison, he's a proud Pentecostal Christian. He was openly against ruling in favour of gay marriage, and he was the one who coined the famous phrase "stop the boats" as immigration minister, and was very instrumental in setting up the offshore detention and setting up all of the things that we're dealing with now in terms of the mistreatment of our refugees.
Wondering, what is the public consensus about Scott Morrison so far?
I would say that Scott Morrison is probably the least known of the three. He's kind of sort of sat in the background a little bit, which is the same in some ways for Julie Bishop, but obviously being, I guess, a strong female politician in a party that really has been seen to have a female problem, not having enough women, She's sort of gained a lot of respect because she's been there for a very long time, whereas Scott has kind of sort of been just, you know, another one of the men in suits behind every prime minister, and he's kind of just come out of the woodwork essentially because he was seen to be the lesser evil by supporters of Malcolm Turnbull.
Mm. Speaking of women in politics, a female parliamentarian has just quit. What happened there?
Yeah, so Liberal politician Julia Banks, she was a supporter of the previous Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull, and I believe that she had planned to quit if Peter Dutton was elected as Prime Minister, but the nastiness around lobbying for the different votes in the spill motion was just essentially too much for her. So she's decided to not contest the next election because she says that both parties in government have a problem with bullying and intimidating women. It's definitely not the first time that we've heard that said about parliaments, not just on the federal level, but at the state level as well, that we're starting to see more women rise up through the ranks, but behind closed doors, they are not being treated equally and they are not being treated fairly.
Mm. Just curious about what other kind of instances you have seen with women potentially being bullied through the media.
Well, I guess a few months ago, there was someone from the Western Australian state government that accused somebody, a man in the parliament, of, I believe, sort of physically intimidating her, and that was sort of shouted down until several women sort of stepped up and said, no, this is the way that men behave in this parliament. It's not new, and we 100% believe her. And of course, I think a couple of months ago, I was also speaking about Sarah Hanson-Young, who in the Senate was denigrated for her sexual activity by one of the other members of the Senate as for, I guess, daring to speak out about sexism in Parliament. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we really have seen quite a bit of it. And there's been talk about it now, having seen such a prominent female politician in Julie Bishop contest the election, be obviously the public's favourite to become the Prime Minister, and then to see her own party just vote her down and not even really consider her as an option, when it's been said quite a bit that she would have been the only one who has a real genuine chance of winning the next election.
Mm. And then there is, of course, Peter Dutton still making appearances in the media. What has he gotten up to with his friends au pairs?
Yes. So, I mean, this has been something that's been spoken about a little bit, but in the wake of him losing his leadership challenge, I think they probably in that party would be taking a bit of a deep breath and a sigh of relief, because it's come out that he has on multiple occasions used his power as the Home Affairs Minister to step in and basically high priority grant exemptions to the au pairs, so the international nannies of his friends, to make sure that they can stay in the country and basically just breach our immigration restrictions and work for these high-profile families. So one of them is a police colleague, because he used to work for the police, so a colleague asked if he could give their au pair an exemption, and he did it. And the other one is the chief executive officer of the Australian Football League, so part of a very high-profile family that I believe has some links to the Liberal Party. The CEO's cousin had an au pair who was facing some visa problems, and so he just gave Peter Dutton a call, and Peter Dutton just gave out another exemption. And when you look at the difficulties that refugees and people who are coming from disadvantaged countries and people who are very scared to go home, when you look at the difficulties that they face in coming to Australia and keeping their visa and sort of settling in here and not having to worry about being deported for mild criminal activity or any of that kind of thing, It's just a little bit ludicrous that these young women who essentially just want to earn some money while they're having a bit of a tourist holiday get this special exemption because they have friends in high places.
Mm. Is it potentially that he might have some consequences for this?
Well, it's sort of been on the periphery of things, and they've just voted, I think, in the Senate to have an inquiry and sort of look into whether or not he's really breached something there, because he does have a little bit of, I guess, executive power. But if he says that he doesn't want to disclose why he's made a decision, sometimes he can just sort of say things and not back them up. But it will be really interesting to see what the inquiry finds and whether he's actually done something that could see him face sanctions or even be kicked out of Parliament.
Wow, that'll be really interesting to see how that unfolds over the next few weeks.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for talking with me this week, Rachel. It is your last, and we are going to miss you so much. You've been brilliant.
Yeah, thank you. It's been amazing.
Yeah, my producer in the back is just saying no. but thank you. We'll hopefully see you doing amazing things in journalism.
Thank you.
Bye. All right, so that was
Neighborhood Watch Ripper.